Slow Burn Media, Evergreen Podcasts, and Killer Podcast presents Who Killed, a podcast that provides a voice for the voiceless. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Who Killed, the Presser of the Week. This week we are going to look into the insanity that is going on in the state of Kansas. We have a case where you have four people arrested for murder, kidnapping, and who knows what else. This is a case that has really captivated the nation, and it's one that you can really look at and wonder what the hell was going on. And there really isn't a lot of information at this point. They do have some connections to the families, apparently, where the bodies were found. The owner of that land knew one of the victims. So, you know, they were from Oklahoma, but they were killed in Kansas, and then these people are part of this crazy misfits group, and it is a wild and wacky, sad, tragic, unbelievably horrible case. Because who knows what happened, why this happened, but it ended up with two women murdered, and luckily the children were okay. This is something that is very important. This is going to be the presser of the week, so we're going to listen to the sheriff talk about the case and many others who will update what is going on. And this is after the four arrests and then after the bodies were found. So again, this is a case that is ongoing. We try to keep these pretty up to date as far as when they come out, as far as also when they happen. So this is just the newest and the craziest thing that we have seen in the world of true crime. And as I always say, it's great to listen to what the experts have to say, as well as what questions the reporters ask, because that is a part of being a journalist, and you got to follow up and you have to ask tough questions. So this is an interesting case and one that I will be following and updating periodically. So we will keep our ears and eyes open on this case. And for now, here is the press conference from just the other day.
All right, so I'm just going to kind of do a step-by-step process of how we're going to do this. Each agency is going to have an opportunity to talk. You guys will have an opportunity to ask questions. So again, my name is Hunter McKee, H-U-N-T-E-R. I'm the Public Information Manager with the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. We have the director of the OSBI, Angela Spurlock, here, the deputy director of the OSBI, Stephen Carter. We also have representatives with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. We have the Texas County Sheriff, and we also have the district attorney. So we are going to start with a few words from the director of the OSBI, Angela Spurlock.
Good morning. I appreciate you all coming today. As Hunter said, my name is Angela Spurlock, the director for the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation. As you all know, we have been working very diligently for the last 2 weeks to bring closure to the families. This has been challenging for everybody involved. This case did not end the way we had hoped. It has certainly been a tragedy for everybody involved. The mission of the OSBI, though, is to protect Oklahoma one partnership at a time, and certainly this case is an example of how those partnerships work. And how it takes everybody coming together to bring resolution. And so while I am very grateful for all of my agents that have worked since the very beginning, 24 hours a day, to get us to the point we are today, we could not have reached where we're at without the partnerships of the Texas County Sheriff's Office, the District 1 District Attorney's Office, without our FBI partners, and without the assistance of the Oklahoma Medical Examiner's Office and the Oklahoma Highway Patrol that could not be here. So our condolences go out to the family, and we will continue to update you as we continue to move this investigation forward. And I'm going to now turn it over to our FBI partners. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Sonia Garcia. I am acting special agent in charge for the Oklahoma City Field Office, FBI. On behalf of the entire FBI, I want to express our sincerest condolences to the family and loved ones of Veronica and Jillian. The FBI was requested to assist on this matter on April 4th, and since then, we've had a dedicated team of analysts, agents, evidence response, and tactical personnel working around the clock and alongside with OSBI and Texas County Sheriff's Office to bring the individuals responsible for this crime into custody and to provide a sense of closure to the families and to this community. Know that we are grieving with you today. We will continue to work with our partners and to be an advocate for Jillian and Veronica and to ensure that justice will be served. Thank you.
My name is Matt Bowley. I am the sheriff of Texas County, and I would also like to offer our condolences to the family. And, my agency's role in this is that we received a call on March 30th of an abandoned vehicle missing with persons missing from the vehicle. Deputies immediately responded to the area. When they arrived on scene, they found some things that just weren't adding up, so we established a crime scene and then notified the OSBI to have them come and assist us with this and to actually take lead on the case. All right. We established a search party made up of the Guyman Fire Department and several of the volunteer fire departments in the county. And we searched the area around the crime scene for about a mile in each direction. Once the OSBI arrived on the scene, they took the lead and got us to this point where we are today. I'd like to thank the Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation, especially the Northwest region. They were phenomenal in this. The Federal Bureau of Investigations, the Oklahoma Highway Patrol, Guyman Fire Department, several Kansas agencies that assisted, local agencies here in Texas County that assisted, and I'm sure I've forgotten a few, but I'd like to just say thank you, even to the public. There was a lot of questions from the public, was there any danger to the public? And I think from the get-go, once we arrived on scene, that and we gained a little bit of information, that we felt this wasn't a random deal, all right? We felt that with some of the information coming in, that it was more targeted, and we started to look in those areas that we were pointed to. Okay? Thank you.
I'm George Harrison Leaps III. I'm the district attorney for District 1. I wanted to start to let you know that on Friday the informations were filed, and they were filed under seal. The reason they were filed under seal was to protect our law enforcement officers and to try to keep the children out of harm's way. We were successful. No shots were fired, and the children were kept out of harm's way. Our district judge issued an order this morning, and those files are now unsealed. So you can get the informations at the courthouse, you can get the affidavits at the courthouse, which will give you the facts that we were working off of. Additionally, I would like to, this has been an amazing enterprise. I was reading on social media some of the stuff, and there were people out there that thought law enforcement was asleep, that they weren't doing anything. There were even additional law enforcement agencies, the Kansas Bureau of Investigation, Dallam County Sheriff's Office, Cimarron County Sheriff's, Sherman County Sheriff's Office from the state of Texas. Everybody came together and everybody helped. We're probably talking somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 law enforcement officers. Truly, no exaggeration, working night and day for 15 days. I want to thank the public. We had people calling us from North Texas Panhandle, from the Oklahoma Panhandle, from Southwest Kansas, providing us information, responding because they cared. And the information we received from them was critical. Also want to thank corporate America. I don't know how many search warrants we issued. Now I'm telling you, they responded in lightning speed. Anything we needed, any order we sent, we got everything that we needed. Lastly, I'd like to thank all the law enforcement agencies that came together and worked together as a team, and all their personnel. They did a fantastic job. Thank you.
Any additional questions you guys have, go right on ahead.
Is there confirmation at this point that the bodies recovered are Jillian and Bronn?
Not at this time. We have we identified that there were two bodies during our search. Both of those deceased persons have been transported to the Oklahoma Medical Examiner's Office, where they will do a proper identification and also look into a cause and manner of death.
What led to the discovery of the bodies?
Based on the evidence that our agents and local law enforcement were able to obtain, we used that to search a wide area throughout Texas County, and we were able to use those resources in order to find where these two bodies were.
Do you know the timeline for when the bodies should be identified and when we should know what the cause of death was?
It's a case-by-case basis, but as soon as we hear back from the Oklahoma Medical Examiner's Office, we will let the public know.
Can you describe the scene where these bodies were recovered and what state these remains are in?
No, I mean, I can say that it was a very rural area. I cannot state the condition of the bodies.
Is this private property?
I cannot confirm that at this time.
In Oklahoma, there's the death penalty if convicted. Could we possibly maybe see this in the state?
You would have to reach out to the district attorney's office. That'll be something that will be discussed further down the line.
D.A. Stewart alluded to a lot of people calling in with a lot of tips. Were there particular tips that broke this case?
We received several tips throughout this entire process. The public, I mean, I know that we had thanked that our local law enforcement agencies, what they were able to help us and throughout this search, but the people here throughout this area have done a tremendous job of reaching out to us. The original press release that we had put out on March 31st in regards to searching for these two women, we constantly received several tips and had used those throughout the entire 14-day process in order to find these two bodies, and then also discover and find those who were responsible for this crime.
So the reason foul play was suspected was because of evidence found in the car. Can you go into more detail now of what that evidence was?
We cannot still at this time. It is still an ongoing investigation, and that is for our investigative purposes. Again, we can say that the evidence that was discovered inside of that abandoned vehicle and around it, we're able to help our investigators determine that there was foul play involved and then led to the progression of this investigation. What was in the vehicle around it, we cannot discuss.
It was quite a convoy in executing these four search warrants. Was there concern of resistance to arrest? How much concern was there over a possible gunfight?
When you are regarding arrests and multiple arrests in the magnitude that we have all discussed, there is always there is always a cause of, you know, of trying to protect the public as best you possibly can. You know, we can say that all four of those arrests were made without incident. And so that, of course, went extremely well. And we are extremely grateful. Another agency that wasn't able to make it that was a big part of that and helped us tremendously was the Oklahoma Highway Patrol. So we want to thank them tremendously on that. But, I mean, again, there was concern, but we are extremely thankful that no one was hurt, no one was injured during this process.
Did any of the four suspects charged in the case tell law enforcement where to find them?
Say that one more time.
Did any of the four suspects charged in the case tell law enforcement where to find them?
No, we cannot discuss that at this time.
How early did you guys have suspects?
We can't discuss that at this time.
Are you able to go into further detail how you believe that this was targeted and not a random act?
Based on the evidence and the information that we were able to obtain throughout the entire investigation, what was found inside of the vehicle, witnesses, family, friends of the victims that we were able to talk to throughout this entire process, we were able to gain the information to determine that that these four people were responsible for both of these women going missing.
Also, are you able to confirm if this was over a custody battle?
We cannot confirm that at this time.
What's the relationship, if any, between the suspects and Veronica?
Again, because it is still an ongoing investigation, we cannot discuss that.
We know that one arrest was in Texas County, the three others in Cimarron. Can you describe the arrest process? You said there was no resistance, but...
That's all we can really say at this time. And we can say that the four people that we were looking for were found, arrested, and placed into custody within the same day, and there was no resistance.
And obviously you can't talk about the evidence in this case, but is there significant physical evidence in this investigation?
Yes.
Can you elaborate?
No.
Are you able to go into the condition of the bodies that were found?
No.
Is there a reason you guys were so tight-lipped right off the start? You said there wasn't a threat to the public when you guys were investigating, but still not a lot of information was released. Is there a reason for that?
There was not immediate threat to the public. Again, as the sheriff alluded, this was a targeted case. And when you ask about us not releasing a lot of information in that two-week process, this is the way that our investigators work. This is what you have to do in order to get the job done. Everybody involved in order to catch those responsible and do everything in our power to find both of these people who went missing from the very beginning. So again, as we tried to do as the investigation progresses, we can release as much details as we possibly can. But again, the way that this process works is you can't give away as much as maybe you guys are asking for, because that's how we're able to catch these four suspects.
Did law enforcement speak with Tiffany Adams on March 30th?
I cannot confirm that.
Is the property where the bodies were found connected to the suspects at all?
I cannot confirm that.
Was Kelly a court-appointed supervisor for Butler's visits with her children?
We can't go into that.
So I know the bodies haven't been identified, but you know, everyone expressed their condolences. Do you think there's any chance that Veronica and Jillian are still alive?
No.
Any word on arraignment?
We will look into that further. When that is made available, we will let everybody know.
As the investigation progresses, do you expect the possibility for more suspects to be arrested?
Not at this time.
Have the suspects been cooperative and talkative, or have they provided any type of confession?
We cannot release that at this time.
Have the families helped you guys during this process?
Yes. Families, friends, people that have known both of these women who went missing have been a tremendous help. Everybody that we have talked to has helped us tremendously in doing everything they can to give us the necessary information in order for us to try to track them down and find out what happened.
Where are the children?
We can't go into that right now.
They're
safe, yes.
Are
children are safe. We can't go into that.
Now that the FBI is involved, will they face any federal charges?
We're not going to go into that right now.
So what next? Is there going to be further investigation?
Yes, the investigation continues. The next steps are when the identification of the two victims is made, we will let everyone know, and when the cause and manner of death is made by the medical examiner's office, we will let everyone know.
Were the bodies together?
We cannot confirm that. Right now, there are no suspects at large. The public is not in danger. That's what's important to us. We are extremely grateful that we were able to locate and arrest the four people that we believe are responsible for this crime. As soon as the identification is made with the bodies, we will let everyone know. But again, it took everybody in this case to get this done. We know that there were people throughout the two-week process who were frustrated, who wanted answers as soon as possible. You know, we wanted those answers too, but just know that our OSBI agents, FBI agents, troopers, Kansas Bureau of Investigation, the KHP, everybody worked nonstop in order to come together and make these arrests.
Can you talk at all about the relationship
between... No, we can't go into that right now.
Was there ever any concern for the children at any point in this investigation? Like for their safety?
There's always concern whenever there's children involved, but we can say that the children are safe.
With this being such a rural area, did this make this case unique in any way?
It made it challenging. Again, you're talking about northern Texas County, near that Kansas line. It's very rural. Those of you in the media that have been up there covering this, there's not a lot of homes, not a lot of buildings or businesses. Sometimes you could use cameras to help you in this case. We did not have that. So that's what made it extremely challenging.
Is there any video evidence?
Not at this time.
Have you ever seen a case like this? Like, is there anything different about it?
The OSBI covers all kinds of cases. Each case is different in their own way. They're all just as important to us. But, you know, this case was tragic. You have two people who are dead, and four people that committed an absolutely brutal crime. And so, again, that's why it took every agency involved in this in order to get this done.
Those four are still being held here?
Yes. Is everybody good? Thank you, everybody, for coming.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to this week's episode of Who Killed the Presser of the Week. Again, I drop new episodes every Friday. I have a new episode coming out soon about the Smiley Face Killer. I am working on that at the moment, doing some research, and I will have a special guest on to discuss that case. So that is in the cards and in the future. So you will hear a new episode tomorrow, as well as a new episode every Friday, as always. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can do so at BillHuffman3. And again, you can find me wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. I do have another show that I have done that's called My Passion Case, where I interviewed a lot of the top podcasters in the true crime world, and they talk about the cases that got them involved in this line of work. And it's an interesting dive into their personalities and what cases caught their attention. So check that out wherever you get your podcasts. Again, as always, until next time, stay healthy and be safe.
Hey, podcast listeners, I'm Paul Brandis, introducing my podcast, Countdown to Dallas. It's a fascinating, in-depth look at the seemingly unconnected events that led to the assassination of President John F. Kennedy. It's based on my book of the same title. In that book and in this podcast, I go all the way back to 1939, when Lee Harvey Oswald was born into a troubled and dysfunctional family. I'll follow his transient and often violent teenage years and young adulthood, painting a fuller picture of the man who would later become Kennedy's killer. I also take a look at events unfolding in that era, like Cuba and Vietnam, and I'll unpack the conspiracy theories too, not one of which has ever been conclusively proven. Subscribe to Countdown to Dallas at evergreenpodcasts.com or your favorite listening app, October 31st.
Ohio is a land of mystery. From missing shipwrecks and lost treasure beneath her surface to strange phenomena slicing through her skies. From myths that have evolved around historic events and people to the unsolved murders and disappearances that keep her communities wondering what happened. Find Ohio Mysteries on your favorite podcast app, and let's explore the inexplicable. OhioMysteries.com.